I'm going to be in Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11 and starting at verse 24, I believe. So we're working our way through Matthew. All right. So what would you give for a good rest? And by rest, I mean a real rest, not entertainment, or even a good sleep, or even a Netflix binge, or even an endorphin-producing workout that'll give you sometimes that feeling, that good feeling for an hour or two. Or maybe that sense of calm and vitality that you get from a good cup of coffee sometimes. What would you give for a real rest where the tensions and anxieties and angst of your soul would be calmed and stilled, and somehow, at least in part, you could be at peace with yourself and with God in the midst of the life that you're living? What would you give for a real rest? Sounds a bit idyllic, doesn't it? I recall many times in my life, countless times, in fact, even in this last year or two, when in the midst of the demands and challenges of the work week and parenting and everything that's going on, I've longed for the weekend and some days off, only to discover yet again that when I get to the weekend and that I'm in the midst of those days off that I've looked forward to because I thought they would give me rest, that I still don't have. I'm still not experiencing soul rest. There's some anxieties or burdens churning within me, and as much as I would like to really rest, I don't know how. So I can organize a lot of things pretty well in my life. Organizationally with my work, I can organize things fairly well, but I can't seem to organize my way into soul rest. I can't make it happen. So what would you give for a real rest? If you've been around for a while, you know that you can't buy rest and you can't earn it either. You really can't. A bit more fun, another trip to some exotic location, serving just a bit more, trying harder to please God and be the person you think you're supposed to be, or maybe another hit of some kind of drug or whatever you use to numb your personal pain and anxiety, or maybe a bigger house, maybe that would do it, or a nicer car, or a better job, or maybe kids that finally did what you wanted them to do. But none of it seems to add up to any kind of real rest that lasts. The effects inevitably wear off, and you're still left with yourself. You still have to live with your own heart and soul. You can find some relief, maybe, a very temporary divergence, but not deep rest. As the saying goes, wherever you find yourself, there you are. So my intention today, and I'll be short, is for you to hear an invitation from Jesus. And you've probably heard this invitation before, and if you're like me, you need to hear it again and again. It's an invitation not to do more, necessarily, not to try harder, not to pull yourself up by your socks in yet another area of your life, whether it's socially, physically, mentally, or religiously. It's not even an invitation to try to quit some kind of destructive behavior that you may be engaged in as a short-term attempt to get rest. It's an invitation to none of those things. Rather, it's a deeply personal invitation from Jesus to you. It's not even an invitation so much from Jesus to the gathering as it is an invitation from Jesus to you and collectively to us. And it's an invitation for you to come to him as you are, get to know him, receive whatever gifts he wants to give you, and learn to walk with him day by day. And the result of the process, Jesus says, in the years to come, will be rest for your souls. So let me read for you Matthew 11, 25 to 30. You may want to just listen. Jesus has just rebuked some people, some whole towns, because they were too proud to respond to him. He'd done most of his miracles in these three towns, and he rebukes them. because they didn't actually receive this new way of life that he was giving them. And then he says these words. At that time, Jesus prayed this prayer. O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, thank you for hiding these things from those who think themselves wise and clever and for revealing them to the childlike. He's talking to adults and kids. Yes, Father, it pleased you to do it this way. My Father has entrusted everything to me. No one truly knows the Son except the Father, and no one truly knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Then Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. There's some amazing things about this passage, but let me just point a few of them out to you for you to think about. The first one is that the secrets of this new kingdom that Jesus is bringing appear to be for the humble, the childlike, for the teachable, to those who aren't offended by Jesus. The invitation that Jesus gives, and maybe you're in this position yourself, is to those who are spiritually exhausted. They're worn out from all their efforts to do and be the people they think they're supposed to be. Let me say that again. They're worn out from all their efforts to be the people they think they're supposed to be. They're spiritually worn out. So spiritual fatigue, it is a thing. Jesus acknowledges it here. Spiritual exhaustion is a thing. We can get exhausted physically, emotionally. Our souls can get tired. So there were at least 613 commandments in the Old Testament. And over the centuries, the Jewish religious elders had added to those all kinds of traditional teachings. The end result was that there was, within that highly religious Jewish culture, there was guidelines and rules for every area of life. What you could eat, what you couldn't eat, who you could eat it with, what you were supposed, how you were supposed to wash, what you could do on the Sabbath, what you couldn't do, how far you could walk on the Sabbath. It guided every part of their life. And Jesus saw the soul fatigue of those people, and he invited them into some kind of rest. So he used the idea of yoke. He says, take my yoke upon you. We're not used to the idea of yoke. So a yoke was just a big piece of wood. You'll have seen it on TV, that tied two oxen together, beasts of burden, and allowed them to pull together. We would probably use the word hitch, like as in a car hitch or a trailer hitch. So if you can imagine what Jesus was seeing, he was seeing these people hitched to all these religious requirements in their culture that they were pulling around, that were wearing them right out, and they were exhausted. So are you aware of any soul fatigue in your life? What are you pulling around? If you had a hitch, what are you hitched to? Do you ever find yourself tired of trying to measure up to God, to others, to your own expectations? Like, I'm serious. Do you ever find yourself tired of trying to measure up? Like, what a good place to ask that question. Hey, church. Or maybe, do you ever find yourself getting tired of trying to live up to the expectations and hopes of the culture? All the things you're supposed to do and achieve and buy and earn and maintain. Do you ever get tired of pulling that all around? There's one thing that I hope I can, that you hear this morning out of all of this, is that Jesus is inviting you not into a program. He's inviting you into a relationship. How many of you have heard of Noom? Noom's a current program that I've heard a bit about, and I don't want to slam it. I think it's helped a lot of people, but it's inviting you into a program. Day by day, you read different articles, and it helps you rethink your thinking. Great. This isn't a program. Jesus is inviting you first of all, into a relationship. He's not even inviting you to go to church. He's not even inviting you to be part of a church community, although that may help you in your relationship with him. Jesus is first of all inviting you personally, with your soul fatigue, to come to him. That's really helpful. So what does it mean, do you think, that Jesus is humble and gentle? Like, really, I've come to this verse for years. Jesus says, let me teach you because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Do you see the connection? It says, let me teach you. I'm humble and gentle, and you'll find rest for your souls. But what does it mean that Jesus is humble? He's the Son of God. So I dug around a little bit, and that word humble here actually means low, not high, particularly, and it's thinking particularly of attitude or social positions. So it's the opposite of proud or arrogant. It's not lording it over people. So when Jesus invites you to come to him with your exhaustion, he's not going to lord it over you and beat you up even more. You're going to be able to find rest in relationship with him. So I was talking with a guy this week who I just met. He's a 33-year-old guy. And we're just talking a little bit about Jesus and about his kingdom. And he made this statement, and I totally agreed with him. He said, it's amazing that in relationship with Jesus, you can own up to who you really are. You can share your stuff with him, and he doesn't shame you. Do you ever catch that? Jesus never shames you. Like, the very person who you'd think you'd have to run from with your stuff, you don't have to. He's just gracious. He's humble. This is such good news. And so Jesus says, because he's like that, you can come to him as you really are, and he's going to give you soul rest. How does that work? I don't know. It's mystery. It happens between you and him. It happens in relationship with other believers as well. But you come to Jesus, you entrust yourself to him, you go on this journey with him, and he begins to give you soul rest. So really careful, we have to be really careful here. Let me just say this, and I'm almost done. Jesus isn't inviting you into some kind of monkish life in which you get to avoid everything that's stressful. Right? Because is that what Jesus is offering when he says, come to me and I'll give you soul rest? That he's, okay, you get to quit your job. You don't have to look after your kids anymore. It's as if your past didn't happen and your personality no longer exists. That somehow you just get to go off into a quiet room somewhere by yourself and hum. Like, and that's going to be the formula for rest. That's not what Jesus is inviting you into. Jesus is offering you soul rest to some extent in the life that you're living. Think about Jesus. Did Jesus have soul rest in the life that he lived? I think that he did. In a way probably that you and I will never experience until we get to heaven. So soul rest doesn't mean that God doesn't ask you to do difficult things, or that there isn't a serious yoke on your shoulders, that you're not pulling concerns and cares with you. It means that somehow in the midst of it, your heart in the deep places of your life is at rest with Jesus. Okay, just to wrap this up, let me ask you some questions that will remind you of how this works, this soul rest piece. And there's just two examples I've pulled out of the hat that help us illustrate how soul rest works, okay? That was funny. That's Kyle's side of the family, I think. Amazing. Kyle and Claire's kids, they have the most amazing complexions and color. That's cool. So how come she doesn't get coffee? How come you guys get coffee and you're just giving her water? Okay, so here's the questions. Number one, I'm serious with these questions. Number one, are you able to accept God's acceptance of you in all your imperfections and with your past? Let me say it again. Are you able to accept God's acceptance of you in all your imperfections? Can you imagine the soul rest that a person could have if they could actually accept God's acceptance of them as they are in light of their past and their present circumstances? Are you with me? Jesus is inviting you into that kind of relationship. How can we have soul rest when we can't accept who we are, or we haven't been able to process some of the things we've experienced? We carry those things like backpacks and burdens that keep us striving to be and do so that somehow we can validate our existence on the planet. Often we need healing, deep healing. And Jesus is gently inviting us into an honest relationship with him where we can begin to experience that healing. Sometimes we need help from others to get there. So that was the first question. Can you accept God's acceptance of you? Let me just pull another example out of the hat to illustrate this soul rest piece. This is an entirely different direction. Here it is. Question. Are you content with what you have and your place in life? Or maybe you're comparing yourself to others and you've bought into the value that life is about what you own or the experiences that you can buy for yourself or your kids. And so you're constantly wanting more. What kind of soul rest could creep into your life if you could be content with your lot in life? So here's the thing. We often think of soul rest as a particular religious experience or a particular personal spiritual experience that we have with God. So soul rest is like an event where for 10 minutes or 15 minutes or half an hour, I experience something of the peace of God. But what if soul rest is something that you grow into as you align your life with the values of the kingdom of Jesus? I think it's both. Soul rest can be an event. Soul rest is also something that you can grow into in the coming decades. I'm seeing it work in my life. As you choose to change the way you think about life and align your life with the teaching of Jesus. So if you're not content, what if you could genuinely let go of comparing and be thankful for the gifts God has already given? Might you and I have some new capacity to love people because we're not spending all our spiritual energy giving ourselves to what we think we need to buy or fix or maintain or shop for? Okay, so I'm going to bring it back to you now. What other questions could we ask each other to help us enter into this soul rest? Okay, so here's the question. And I'm looking at you guys out in Zoom land too. You might have to unmute your mic. If you want to chat it, you could as well. But we'd hear it if you unmute your mic. What other questions could we ask each other to help us enter into this soul rest that Jesus is offering us? I want to give you an opportunity just to get you thinking about how practical this is. What questions could we ask each other to help us think through how to enter into this soul rest? Do any come to mind? Okay, yeah. Can I give an example? Okay, here's an example. How is your use of technology and particularly your cell phone affecting your soul rest? Okay, that'd be an example. That's a huge one. And when I talk with you guys, this is, I use guys generically. I live in a house with five women. I call them all guys and it's cool. So you're all guys. I keep having to explain this. When I talk with people, this is a big one. Our technology and what we do with it is seriously affecting our capacity to enter into the kind of relationship with Jesus that results in soul rest. Okay, that's one question. That was the best. That one's hard to beat because it's so relevant. But what other questions would come to mind? Questions that help us think, we could ask each other about, that would help us think through how to enter into soul rest. Anybody?
One thing that came into my mind, can you hear me out there? You can, it looks like.
Yeah, right on.
I feel like something I've been thinking about recently, this one's a little bit more vague than like the technology one, but I've been thinking about sort of like, once you get rest, like, do you know what to do with it? Like, I've been thinking about how a lot of times, like when we talk about like what our ideal life should be, it's just a lot of sin management. Like, it's just sort of like all we teach in how to live is just how to manage sin. But like, I don't know. I think that like heaven ideally is not just sort of like a sinless place. It's like an alive place, you know? It's a place where people are actually like living and being alive. And so like, if we do get rest, do we actually know what it looks like to be alive and using that energy and using that space that we have? Or do we just know how to get rest and then like not sin, you know?
Yeah, Joel, you're always a step ahead. So Joel, what's the answer to the question? What's one answer to the question in terms of if you experience some soul rest, what do you do with it? What would you say?
I was trying to think about this last weekend. I was out camping, and I don't think I actually have a good answer for it, because I was trying to process like what even just what I'm trying to do with my life. But I think I really appreciated staring at a fire for like an hour. I know that's just like a weird and really specific example, but like I think in that space, like rest didn't look like having, living didn't look like having a big theological thought, or it didn't look like having an epiphany. It was like, you know, hearing all the loons and seeing the fire and just like being really grateful for like, you know, what it was like to just be able to breathe and be there. I don't know, maybe that sounds like a little bit like hippy dippy, but I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, cool. So what I heard you just say is that that experience of soul rest allowed you to be a creature in God's creation and be comfortable with that for a few moments. Anybody else? Thank you, Joel. What other questions can we ask each other? I'm serious. What, Helena? Yeah, so Helena just asked the question, when is the last time you were lighthearted? Thank you. Some of that's our own choosing, hey? What other questions would you ask? Man, there's a lot of them when you start thinking it.
I think there's another part one. Of it. Sorry, go ahead. Yeah, I was just going to say, for me, a lot of it has to do with celebration. Because if I'm, you know, Joel asked, what do you do with the rest? What I like to do when I'm rested is I can enter into celebration. If I'm not rested, then it's really hard to rejoice with those who are rejoicing. And it's hard to do the opposite as well if I'm not rested, to grieve with those who are grieving.
Thank you, Karen. We could talk about this a lot more. Let me just wind this up by saying this. Thank you, everybody, for your participation. That soul rest is a byproduct of learning to live in relationship with Jesus and follow his teaching. That's what I'm hearing here. Let me say it again. Soul rest is a byproduct of learning how to live in relationship with Jesus and follow his teaching. And soul rest is a byproduct of that because Jesus is so good. He made us for himself, and his teaching fits who we are. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you for this invitation from you. And Jesus, I just speak it to each of our hearts again, God. You know, each of our stories, each of our fears, each of our hopes. You know what our mental health is like. You know our emotional state. Lord, you know my own journey. I don't know how to trust you. Trusting you is hard. And if I can't trust you, how can I experience your rest? Lord, a lot of us are like that. So Jesus, we come to you. Help us, Jesus. Help us to trust you. Help us to know how individually we can cultivate a relationship with you. Help us just to take those first steps towards you today, Lord, if we're feeling estranged or if we're feeling exhausted. Thank you. Amen.